Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, the 17th day of August, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast, of course, at 103.3 FM, and anywhere else on the planet. If you want to tune in, just go to our website, of course, at ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers, because you know this is a community-supported visual radio station, so the video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. We are glad that you are with us. Coming up this morning, we are going to be talking about emergency notifications and some other cool things happening at the San Juan County Communications Authority. Stay tuned for my conversation with my guest, Nicole Brown, in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this morning, we'll be checking in with the San Juan Rotary Club about an event they are happening at the Four Corners Regional Airport next month. We'll give you details about that at 8:50 a.m. right here on KSJE. Mick Hess will take over, Roving with the Arts, next hour at 9:06. That's our weekday classical music program. And then at 9:30, it's Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. Vanaya Yazzie will introduce us to another Native artist. So that's coming up at 9:30 right here on KSJE Radio. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our X account, which used to be called Twitter, and our Instagram page as well. And if you're a podcast person, we invite you to subscribe to KSJE Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Pandora, the list goes on and on. Maybe discover a new local program that you may have missed recently. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it's a sunny Thursday morning so far, 67 degrees at San Juan College. We're expecting a partly sunny day today, a 50% chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm popping up, and the high today reaching 91 in Farmington. Chance of showers continuing tonight with a low near 66. More chances for rain tomorrow, again 90 on Friday, 62 Friday night, then things kind of dry out for a few days, with a high of 93 with partly sunny skies on Saturday, 92 on Sunday, sunshine and 90 on Monday. Back with my guests in just a moment. This is KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, presenting Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at 7:30 p.m. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. Sundays from August 10th through August 20th. Performed by members of the Four Corners Musical Theater Company, including a 40-member youth ensemble who've been rehearsing all summer. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the Farmington Civic Center. Find out more at fmtn.org/shows. Back in Studio A with my guest this morning, a triumphant welcome back to my guest. Nicole Brown is here from the San Juan County Communications Authority. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to see you.
You too.
Right? Used to be here all the time.
I used to be here all the time.
Twice
a month.
At your other job. Yeah. But now you have this new-ish job. And you're back. So we're glad to have you. So
thanks
welcome.
For having me.
You are the director of the San Juan County Communications Authority. That is the dispatch center.
Yeah.
And so you are dispatching for most, if not all, entities here in San Juan County, correct?
Yeah, we do. So we're Farmington Police Department, Aztec Police, Bloomfield Police, Sheriff's Office, County Fire, which is, of course, covers the entire county.
Right.
And then Farmington Fire and Aztec Fire.
So. Very good.
And Bloomfield Fire is tied in with the county fire.
So. Right. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
a,
is
lot.
A lot. And, of course, all the EMS. So we can't forget them. They're super important. And it is. It's a lot. We process a lot of calls. And we're responsible for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and we were talking about, what, 2022, how many calls? 267,000?
Yeah, around 267,000 calls were processed in 2022. So that's a lot of calls.
That's I only made 50,000 of those from me. So
yeah,
that
just
was just from
you.
Me.
I think I was at Farmington City Council just a little while ago, earlier in July, talking to them about some changes that we're making. And Mayor Duckett let us know that he's a frequent caller
on
the non-emergency line.
Okay. Well, that's right.
So
him
maybe
and me.
He's the other calls.
Maybe
it's
he could be,
you
too.
You and Mayor Duckett.
Maybe that's it. That's true. And then you also coordinate with other agencies, too, I think, because, you know, if there's a big incident, like state police are involved or maybe Navajo police. And so I think you also do some coordination with those other dispatchers, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Big, we work very things. Closely with all of our neighboring agencies.
Or so, in Colorado, I suppose.
Yeah, we do. We transfer a lot of calls to La Plata County. In fact, recently we just had a call. This is great. This is, you're getting breaking news.
Oh, we love breaking news. What's going on? What happened?
Recently we had a call that La Plata County called out to us, or called us, and then they also sent us a teletype through the FBI National Crime Database, and let us know that there was a child who had been abducted in Colorado, and that they thought he might come to our area.
Okay.
And our dispatchers immediately put the information out to our officers, and a deputy found the vehicle in Aztec, pulled it over, and the child was recovered safely.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And how long a period of time was that about? Was it maybe just...
Oh, I don't know. From
a few hours
to,
maybe, or less
no,
than an hour?
No, I mean, it was less than, I think, an hour.
Our
dispatchers put the information out right away, and then shortly after, a deputy located it.
Amazing. Well, that's how it's supposed to work, right?
Yes, I mean, that situations is exactly like that. How it's supposed to work. So
very exciting. Perfect. I also want to give you kudos, and I'm not the only one, because the Farmington Police Department gave kudos to you and your staff, I think, for the assistance during the incident in Farmington on May 15th.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
You had a lot of calls that day, too.
We did. So typically on a morning in that time frame, we had checked kind of some of the previous days. We take around 50 to 60 calls in that time frame. That morning we took 230.
Wow.
So in an hour and a half.
Right.
It was a lot. I can remember the picture that you've got up right now. That's actually my office door.
Okay. All right.
So, and on the other side of that picture is the dispatch floor. So my door, of course, I love it. I can see the dispatch floor. I can talk to them and hear their jokes and all of that. But I was sitting at my desk and I heard that the phones were really blowing up. They were really ringing a lot. And I looked out and everybody was working hard, and I thought, this is strange. So I pulled out my headset and I thought, well, I'll go help for a minute. And then as I was walking to the console with my headset, I could hear the dispatcher dispatching a shooting. And I thought, this is gonna be rough,
right?
Because it's the middle of the day. There's so many people out, you know, it was early out for school, just so many of the compounding factors. And so I threw on my headset, logged into a console. My operations manager, same thing. Her office is just a couple doors down from mine. She put on her headset and came out. We started answering phone calls, and it got very wild inside that center. We had a lot of information pouring in, and then a lot, once we got responders on scene, you know, that's the other side of the job. So not only are we taking the calls from the public, but we're also relaying all that information to first responders. And it got very, very hectic. And of course, when something like that's going on, the room gets kind of loud because, you know, the phones are ringing.
Yeah.
So many people are talking at once, and radios are talking. So the Farmington police dispatcher who is in that photo, she's the one in the middle holding the
folder,
the
kind
letter.
of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Her name is Vakesha, and we love her.
Congratulations!
But she did amazing. She was the dispatcher on the Farmington channel when it happened, and then another one of our senior dispatchers, Katrina, was on the fire channel, and they worked so well together. So much information was being put into the CAD card that it was a lot to keep track of. And so Crystal, our operations manager, she stepped in and started helping, you know, highlight information that needed to be highlighted and kind of help clean up the card a little bit so they could see what the information they needed to get out on the radio.
And so this was a photo of the police department thanking you and your staff for their efforts that day, right? That's what this is a photo of. But yeah, congratulations. And it sounds like it was an all hands on deck type of an incident.
It was.
Which happens.
Yeah, we had people coming in on their day off. We had one of our supervisors was on vacation.
Wow.
But she knew it was happening, so she came in. So it was pretty amazing. We called in a couple other employees. They responded so quickly. Our staff really performed well that day, and we're so grateful to the police department for recognizing that. Traditionally, dispatch doesn't get recognized as often as they should. So we're really grateful that we have good partnerships with our agencies and Farmington especially. And
we've talked, I think, numerous times on this program about how, you know, for these law enforcement officers or EMS responders or whomever it is, the dispatcher is kind of that link to the scene of what's going on. I mean, you're getting the information from someone at the scene even before police or fire EMS get there. And so you're letting them know kind of what to maybe expect or what the situation is or what have you. And so they rely on that information, I think, a lot.
Yeah, no, they absolutely do. They tell us all the time.
Yeah.
They love that that our center, we implement use a couple of protocols. They appreciate the information that we get from those protocols because it's kind of standard. We know what the information is going to be. But then our dispatchers just really go above and beyond. We pride ourselves in being the best, you know, in the area. And so they really do strive to be the best. And, you know, dispatchers always say we're the first responder. So we are impacting that scene before anyone else is ever physically there. So the dispatcher is helping people, you know, giving them life-saving instructions or, you know, calming the scene down, however that goes. But yeah, and then relaying it, the other half of it is relaying it to first responders and doing it accurately and not emotionally and, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
So it's important.
All that stuff.
It's an important job.
A big job. That's true.
Yeah.
Very true. You are planning some changes at the dispatch center that we want to let folks know about, and that is coming up for the non-emergency number. And that's kind of the other number that folks should be calling if they don't have an emergency but just need to report something else. And that is the 334-6622 number. I don't know why I memorized that, but I've called it every day for the last 30 years.
I'm so glad that you have it memorized.
Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, we, our community is really great because of the 267,000 calls we took in 2022, only about 60,000 of them were actual 911 calls. So the rest were on the non-emergency line, which is excellent.
That's what you want.
That's what we want. We want our community only calling 911 when they have a life or death emergency. So that's beautiful. Our community does great in that sense. But we still do get a lot of calls that don't really belong to us. They are needing to get to the jail or the courts or the animal shelters. So to try to help, because everyone in the world is struggling with staffing, we are not an exception to that role. We're doing better. Mm-hmm. We're very close to being fully staffed, so it feels like a little bit of a breather for us. But I think that the best way to help, you know, make the most of the staffing that we do have is we are going to implement an auto attendant or a call attendant on our non-emergency line, so the 334-6622, and it will just be an automated system that will answer the phone and, you know, give you options. So, you know, press 1 if you need police, fire, or medical assistance, press 2 if you need the animal shelters, so on and so forth.
Right.
And so it will hopefully filter out those calls that we shouldn't be taking for the jail, for the shelters, for the
And it
courts.
Would automatically, I guess, transfer some of those calls
yes,
to those destinations,
those
I guess, if that's what folks
to
want.
To those destinations.
Okay.
And then the calls hopefully that we need to be, you know, only the calls that we need to be processing are the calls that
will ring
actually
through,
filter
I
to
guess,
us. Yeah.
To the floor, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a big change in the sense that we've always, you know, been the place that you know you're going to get a human being immediately. You
Right.
know, there's no computer standing between you and a human.
Can I just scream representative into the phone and still get to you?
You
Oh,
cannot.
okay. All
The
right.
system is smart. It will detect if someone's calling, you know, if they're hard of hearing or
Good.
deaf. It will detect if they're using a device like that
Okay,
and
good.
get them to the right place immediately. But yeah, you'll have to, the first option will be if you need police, fire, or medical
Well,
assistance.
sure.
So if you press one, you'll get a live person.
Right.
But the other options hopefully will help filter out those calls. So we're not taking calls that we shouldn't be taking. You know,
Right.
they're going to the correct place. Hopefully that streamlines things for the caller. They're not having to be transferred around or given different numbers.
Well, and again, I guess if one of your 911 dispatchers is answering one of those non-emergency calls and they want to be transferred to the animal shelter, in the meantime, they're not able to respond to an actual 911 call that's coming in on the actual 911 system.
Exactly. So if my call taker, so I have call takers and dispatchers. Dispatchers also take phone calls, but their primary duty is to the field units and to the radio. So to the officers and firefighters and paramedics. And so if one of my call takers is busy transferring a call to the animal shelter and a 911 call rings, then my radio dispatcher has to pick up that 911 call. And it's not fair to the caller, it's not fair to the field units when their attention is now divided. So they can't always give the caller everything, you know, all the instructions immediately. They have to say, I'm sorry, I have to
Right.
talk on the radio, hold on just a second for me. And they have to, you know, talk on the radio. And maybe they don't hear all the radio traffic because the caller is in an emergency and screaming
Right.
in their ear. So it's just not as safe as I would like us to be.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that the call attendant will take care of those calls that we don't need to be processing, that, you know, callers need to be going somewhere else. And then that will give my call takers more time and more opportunity to answer those emergency calls. So many dispatchers don't have to handle those as
Right,
much.
right.
They'll still do it. They still
Well,
will.
sure. And what's your timeline to get that into place? When will we expect to see that happening
So
on
it'll
that
either be,
non-emergency number?
I don't have a specific date yet. I'm still waiting. But I know it will be either late next week, so like Thursday or
Oh, like
Friday-ish.
soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or early the week after that.
Well, that explains why you're here this
I
morning,
know,
because
yeah. I gotta get the word
it's happening
out.
soon.
It is, it
So,
is.
okay. So don't be surprised for folks that are
Yeah.
calling that number, but that's still the important non-emergency number to call
Yes.
unless it's a life or death
Emergency.
emergency.
Yes.
And that is the situation. And again, I have to say, when the call comes in on 911, your call takers don't know what that call is, that flashing light, until they answer the call, right? It could be something really big is happening, or it could just be, hey, why is it raining outside? Which you shouldn't call 911 for that. Please
Yeah,
don't call 911
please don't
for
call
that.
911 for that.
But you never know, and
Yeah.
the call taker doesn't know what that call is until they pick up the phone
We
and
do,
learn.
yeah, we do differentiate. So the phone rings differently. If it's a 911 call, it has a different sounding ring.
Right.
It's a little more like attention getting.
Urgent, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
it'll get your
Yeah.
attention. And then the non-emergency lines ring like a normal phone ring.
Gotcha.
So
So they know that,
they
but
know
even a
that.
911 call, they don't know, is this a traffic accident? Is this just a
Yeah.
house fire? Is this a brush fire? What is it?
Yeah, and they definitely, I like to call it the roller coaster of the day. So, you know, the operator could take a call that is a very serious emergency, and they are, you know, putting all of their training and all of their skills to the test, like we did on May 15th. So, you know, all of that, and in the middle of it all can come in a call of like, well, I have this dog in my yard and I don't know who he belongs to. And, you know, so in the middle of all of that
Right.
chaos can come that non-emergency because, you know, they don't know. People
Right.
don't know everything that's happening in the county. The Aztec shooting day is a great example. The dispatcher who dispatched out that call was on the phone as she dispatched it with a gentleman who was trying to get a trap from animal control.
Oh.
And she was giving him all the options. And as she dispatched out the call, then of course her radio traffic got really busy and she kept telling, I'm sorry, sir, I have to talk on the radio. Hold on just a moment. I'm sorry, sir, I have to talk on the radio. Hold on just a moment. And finally he goes,
Wow.
It sounds like you got real busy. She goes, yes, sir, we have a shooting incident. And he says, oh my gosh, I'll call you back.
Right.
And hung up
Good.
the phone. So he did, of course, he had no idea that that was happening.
Sure.
And she did beautifully. She, handled it beautifully and was so professional with
The
him.
life of a 911 operator
Yeah.
and dispatcher.
So yeah, you kind of rode the roller coaster. You never know what's going to be on the other end of the line. And it could be this crazy situation and get your adrenaline pumping, and then you have to answer the next call, and the next call could be something very low key
Right.
and chill.
You never know. Which is probably why you love that job so much.
I do. I love the ups and downs and the adrenaline
Right. Exactly. Well, I want to ask you too about some of the other things that I wanted to have you here today to talk a little bit about, and that is some of these emergency notifications that are really important. And I think in the wake of we've all seen the stories from Hawaii, the tragedy in Hawaii and Maui of the wildfires, and of the notifications of residents, right, when there is something happening, whether it is a wildfire or a shooting or what have you, hazardous spill, we rely kind of on our government to let us know what's going on. And so there's certain tools that you have to be able to do that, but there's other things that we can do as citizens to maybe be notified about these things too. And I guess that's where I want to start with that conversation, right? There's kind of some choices that we have or responsibilities that we should have.
Yeah, so we employ to do like mass notifications or notifications of incidents. We employ Everbridge. Excuse me.
Yep.
Excuse me.
That's right.
So we employ Everbridge, which is a system that is free for our community to sign up for. We pay for it. And if you go to our website, sjcounty911.net, you'll see the Everbridge logo. You can click on it. You can sign up. So whenever we send out those notifications, if you are on our sign up list and it is in the area, we can kind of choose what area we send it to. If you're in that area, you will definitely get the notification. We still employ the system, that you receive like Amber Alerts on
Right.
through the state. We still employ that system. So if you're just driving through the area, you will get the notification. But that is dependent on you, of course, because you have to set those notifications
On your phone.
on your phone.
Yeah.
So, but if you've signed up for Everbridge, you will get the notification no matter what, and you choose how you receive it. So if you want to, get it as an email or a text message, however you want to receive it, that's how you will get it.
Right. And
And
that's important to know too, that if you are traveling maybe somewhere else,
yeah.
Hawaii maybe, I don't know, right? And
Yeah.
you're in your hotel and there's a fire or there's a tsunami or there's something else happening, you probably want to get notified of
Yeah,
some of this stuff
I
happening.
understand that sometimes it's not convenient to get an Amber Alert for something, that's you feel like is pretty removed from you at 2 a.m. But I think it's pretty important to be notified of a wildfire that's approaching you at 2 a.m.
Right.
when you need to be evacuated. So I am a big component or a big supporter of, leave your notifications on and sign up for Everbridge. That way you're always in the know. You can't rely on social media. You can't rely on some of these other avenues that we use to always be accurate and in the loop and being updated as quickly as possible.
Right. And so with an Everbridge notification, is that more of a text message kind of thing or a phone or a recording on a phone call, a message,
So it'll be
or
a,
could be either?
it could be it, well, it's both. So
Okay.
we'll send out a recording of what we want it to say. We'll also send out text of what we want it to say.
Okay.
So you'll get both,
I got it. Because
and
sometimes in an
you'll be in the know.
emergency, the cell phone networks get overwhelmed, and so I've always heard that maybe texts get through easier than a voice call
I
when
think
that's happening because it takes up less bandwidth and things like that. So maybe a text might be easier to send than a voice if the
yeah.
system's really trying to handle a lot more calls than usual.
And I think it depends. We will get priority,
Of
911,
course.
we get prioritized by the telephone companies. They will prioritize our traffic. So when we are communicating to you, it's going to get prioritized. You will receive that message if you
Okay, good.
signed up on our system or, for utilizing the other system and you're
Good to
driving
know.
through the area.
Gotcha. So that's important. And
It
I
is,
think it
yeah.
really, again, for folks that are traveling, I think, there's a lot of stories coming out of Hawaii about maybe some tourists that, were there and, rely on the hotel or the resort to tell them what to do.
Yeah,
And that's important too.
and sometimes those people are also waiting for the message from first responders. So be in the loop, be in the know, and you'll, you know, sign up for those alerts. If you don't want to read it, don't read it. You can swipe and say clear.
There you go.
And you don't have to read it if it doesn't apply to you. But yeah, it's good to be in the know and get the clear message.
True. Very true. Another thing I want to ask you about is the Smart 911, which is another service that the dispatch center offers. And it's another opportunity to, I guess, kind of let responders know kind of if you have anything unique or particular about your residence, your family, maybe information that those responders would maybe be good to know before they get to your door.
Yes. So Smart 911 is one of my favorite things that we offer. And again, it's free to our community. You can go to our website and click on the Smart 911 profile or picture, and it will take you to our link. So Smart 911 is a profile that you create. So you log in, create your profile, and you can add as much or as little information as you want responders to know. And the only time that we have access to that information is when you dial 911. So if you have someone in your home who maybe has dementia and you're caring for them and you're worried that they might wander off or that there might be an emergency and you want to make sure that we have their picture, a current picture, or know things that will help, you know, a lot of those like autism or dementia or something like that, they have like what we in the business call hooks, but things that they're very interested in and that will pique their interest and make them want to work with us better as responders. So, you know, you can put all that information in. The thing that sold us on Smart 911 when we were looking at it as an agency was a story about a family put in their Smart 911 profile that their autistic son, when he was stressed out or worried or scared, he would hide in a specific closet. Well, there was a fire in the house and the mom was able to dial 911, but because of smoke inhalation, she passed out and wasn't able to relay any information to the first responders. But they saw in the Smart 911 profile that someone would hide in this closet, and the firefighters were able to go directly to that closet. They didn't have to search the whole house, and they were able to rescue him, rescue the mother, and
that's everyone, where the boy was in the closet.
He was in the closet because he was scared,
right?
and it saved his life. It saved his mother's life, and that was it. We were like, if we can save one life with this tool, that it's worth the money. We'll buy it. And so it's a really great tool. And like I said, we only have access to the information when you dial 911. So if you want to put pictures of your home in there, you want to put, you know, codes to your front door, if you're afraid someone might fall or, you know, responders won't have access to get into the house.
Right.
Anything like that.
But it's all private until a 911 call is made from that address, from that house, right?
And then only the operator can see it. They can share it with the first responders who are on the way, and it's only available to us for a certain amount of time.
Right.
So, and then it goes away. We can't access it again anymore. And to be honest, we don't want to access anyone's private information unless we have to in order to help them.
Right. Sure.
We definitely just want to save lives. We don't want to dig in people's information.
And again, I think about fires and things like that and maybe information about pets.
Yeah.
That may be in the house so that if there is a chance to rescue the animals, you know, the firefighters know what may be in there.
Yeah.
And, of course, animals will hide, too.
Yeah, yeah. And that all of that information is so good to have because no one likes to find that kind of stuff in a fire. They would much rather find them alive and rescue them than find them later.
If they have time to do that. So that's important, but that's what it's all about. Very good. We're just about out of time, Nicole Brown. Can you believe it?
I cannot believe it.
But what's the final word? What's the next step? We'll get this changed to the non-emergency dispatch number,
we
the 6622, in the next couple of weeks, you're telling me. And then what else? You just closed a hiring window.
I did.
Application window.
Yeah, yesterday we closed a hiring cycle. We are hiring for call takers. So,
when's the next one?
We'll probably open another one in January, February, March.
Okay.
It'll depend on how quickly people get trained and things move along.
But it is a process, right? When you're looking for a new call taker or dispatcher, right? There's a lot of training involved, but there's a lot of support too for these new folks who are coming on board. And so that's if folks are interested in what we've been talking about today, the watch early next year, I guess, right?
For that
opportunity.
Yeah. And you can always go to our website, our recruiting website, which is 911savealife.com. And there's a lot of information on there about what we do and what kind of person we're looking for, if you're curious about the career. And it has a link that will email me and Crystal Arellano, our operations instructor or operations manager, will email us all. So
nice.
We can talk with you about it. In fact, I have one that I need to answer.
Okay. There you go. Very good. Well, thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's great to have
I
you.
I missed you.
Come back anytime.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, every week. No.
Well, I don't know. About
you have another job. I know. Okay. Thank you very much. Nicole Brown, she is the director of the San Juan County Consolidated Dispatch Center in Aztec, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.